Hello, and welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com podcast, Spam is Annoying, Targeted Hacks are Deadly. I'm Kara Gatine. Thanks for being with us today. In today's Fact or Fiction podcast, we'll discuss whether your organization has suitable defenses in place to detect and react to a targeted attack. Joining me today is Mike Cobb. Mike is a renowned security author, founder and managing director of Cobb Web Applications, a consultancy that offers IT training and support in data security and analysis. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Before we begin, I want to mention that this podcast is part of a lesson in SearchSecurity.com's Targeted Attack Security School lesson. It's just one of many lessons that you can visit at any time by navigating to SearchSecurity.com/securityschool. Mike, to set the stage before we begin, can you give us a brief overview of how targeted attacks are developed, who's behind them, and what the attackers are after?
There's been a lot of interesting sort of research coming out at the moment, and the finger is certainly pointing at the Chinese as being one of the major players in targeted attacks. But I think it's important we don't forget that sort of most nation states practice sort of some form of cyber espionage. And I think there's also an element of larger enterprises using targeted attacks to try and get sort of sensitive commercial information from their competitors and rivals. And of course, there's always the cyber criminal element that are using targeted attacks to steal information that's either of direct value to them or that they can sell on to others. It's a very complex process that these people put together. It's not just a simple sort of drive-by type of attack. They really put a lot of work into researching their targets so that the phishing emails they send out to them really are believable and can work to trick very security astute employees into sort of making a mistake and infecting their computer, and from there that they can sort of spread out across the network, and they're looking for information that's politically or commercially sensitive, and it is becoming a real problem. I think we're getting to a point where almost sort of nobody can sort of rest easy thinking that they're not a target, because they are looking for information from anywhere that can perhaps help sort of finesse an attack against sort of their ultimate target. But as I say, they're looking at collecting information from anywhere that may be of use.
Great. Thank you for setting the stage. That's a great introduction to the topic today. Okay, so let's quickly explain how this will work. I'll read a statement, and Mike, you'll tell me whether that statement should be answered with fact or fiction, and then you'll explain why. So let's get started. Here's our first statement, fact or fiction. An organization that has a network firewall and email gateway protecting its network doesn't need to worry about targeted attacks.
This is fiction, and misplaced trust in these defenses to protect against targeted attacks is potentially very dangerous. These attacks do not try to sneak through a firewall's filters and rules. They don't need to. They enter the network via email or as data requested from a user on the inside of the network. While an email gateway is essential for reducing the amount of spam and simple phishing emails that reaches a user's inboxes, it will struggle to spot the well-crafted, sophisticated spear phishing email that starts a targeted attack. Interestingly, for example, the phishing email that infected RSA in 2011 did get marked as junk by email filters. It had a subject of 2011 recruitment plan, but it still fooled one person into opening it anyway, which led to the infection of the entire network. As for firewalls, they won't stop malware being downloaded by a user who's been duped into visiting a booby-trapped site, as it will be seen by the firewall as a legitimate request. Here, a web security gateway is a better technology for preventing users being lured to a site loaded by loaded with malware by an attacker. They work by checking requested pages against constantly updated lists of sites and IP addresses known to host malware, and they block users from visiting them. However, there is a development called watering hole attacks, which can avoid even this type of security. Hackers create a so-called wormhole by injecting malicious code into a website that they think their targets are likely to visit. This malicious code then redirects visitors without their knowledge to an exploit page on a malicious server designed to infect the target with malware. Iframes are often used, which point to servers hosting exploits for zero-day flaws. This is a far more sort of furtive method of attack than sending somebody an email. It requires patience, but the chances of successfully infecting a target are far higher, as the user is visiting a site that they think is trusted, and their web security gateway will have no reason not to trust the website. And also, because they're using zero-day exploits, AV software will struggle to pick up the attack. So this is a worrying development, and there's not an immediate defensive strategy that can protect against it.
Mm. It's all very complicated. So, all right, Mike, let's move on to the next statement, fact or fiction. Only large, high-profile enterprises and government agencies are subject to targeted attacks, so the rest of us don't need to be too concerned or improve our defenses.
This is fiction, too. I think any organization involved in some way with working with government agencies or companies that are working in the infrastructure industries, financial services and defense industries, they're all at risk. Certainly those involved in computer-controlled operational technologies that operate critical infrastructure such as power and environmental control systems, and those working in the defense supply chain industry are all becoming targets too. As I said in the introduction, attackers are looking to target anybody that might have information either of direct use or that can be used in future attacks. They're also starting to target less obvious employees. So it's not just the CEO who may be subject to phishing emails. They're looking at trying to access people within an organization that might have access to important information or credentials, such as employees in the HR or IT support departments. The type of information they're after ultimately is sort of intellectual property and trade secrets, politically sensitive information, but also information useful for future attacks. Now, well-known companies and government agencies do have, you know, the primary information that they're looking for, but so do firms smaller down the supply chain. Certainly attackers see them as being more vulnerable and a potential source of intellectual property that's used by larger and better protected organizations. They can, of course, also be used as a stepping stone to the real target. So almost everyone is becoming a target for a potential target, and you know, I think has to take the risk seriously.
Mm. Totally agree with that. Very good advice. All right, Mike, here's another one. Fact or fiction? Information posted on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and other social networks is being used to research potential targets.
This is a fact, and I wish everyone was far more aware of the dangers of posting so much information on these social networking sites. There are numerous cases of hackers using personal information posted in the public domain to break into either networks or people's accounts. A couple of sort of fairly high-profile individuals that people probably know, such as Sarah Palin. She had her Yahoo account password reset by a hacker who answered her shared secret questions. Where do you meet your spouse? You know, what's your date of birth and zip code? They found all of this sort of online on social networking sites. A similar thing happened with Paris Hilton's T-Mobile phone account. Hackers answered her secret question, what is your favorite pet name, just by looking it up on the web. I think there's been a very interesting piece of research by a security intelligence firm that shows just how easy it is to create a successful targeted phishing campaign just by pulling information off the internet. The researcher sort of picked the power industry and collected a list of email addresses of control room supervisors at power plants, as well as the engineers that perform maintenance on oil pipelines. And he collected this basically using Jigsaw, which is a Salesforce service that crowdsources contact information for use by sales teams. He validated the addresses he'd got by using LinkedIn, and he also collected the contact details of the contacts and those that had endorsed people's work on LinkedIn. So he used this information to send emails to those on the list to look like they had come from their colleagues and contacts. He used a subject line about job opportunities or software training for programs that he found were used in the industrial control systems. And one company of the 23 targeted employees, 7 clicked on the link, and at another, 11 of 49 employees who worked with critical systems clicked on the link. I think these figures show there's a lot more work needs to be done on highlighting the problem of public information being put onto social networks. It shows it's important to have a security policy covering acceptable usage of social networking sites. And I think people who are at high risk of being spearfished really should be encouraged to severely limit the amount of personal information they put into the public domain.
Great advice. It's really quite scary out there today. All right, Mike, so let's keep going. Our next statement, fact or fiction. An email sent to the target victim is the only method being used to actually infect the victim's computer, so better detection filters at the email gateway will stop attacks from reaching their victims.
I wish it was that simple. As I've already explained, how watering hole attacks work and allow an attacker to infect their victim without having any direct contact with them, the statement is clearly fiction. There are plenty of other methods of reaching potential victims. USB keys are often used, sort of dropped them surreptitiously in the office car park. There's voice phishing. This works by making a call using a fake caller ID with a recorded message to tell the user to dial a phone number regarding a problem with either their bank account or network access, whatever information the attacker is trying to get hold of. Once the victim calls the number, an automated message asks them to sort of enter their account number and password details. There's, of course, a wireless version of phishing, which is known as Evil Twin. This involves a fake wireless network that looks similar to a legitimate public network, such as, the local coffee shop, and can be used to capture passwords and any other data whenever somebody sort of logs onto it. I think those sort of insecurity teams that are tasked with trying to sort of get people to realize some of the problems that, that they're facing and the way attackers may well try and get hold of them, they need to use things like the anti-phishing websites which are out there, such as FraudWatch International. What these sites do, they publish the sort of the current phishing messages that are circulating the internet, so administrators can check, that their own filters are blocking them and advise employees, what to look out for. There are also useful rule sets to identify and block phishing campaigns maintained by the likes of SourceFire Vulnerability Research Team, which can make keeping sort of gateway filters up to date, make it a lot easier. It's also important to make sure employees know how to report a suspicious email so that others in the company, can be warned about it as well. Another tip is to use security awareness posters. I think they're a really good way of keeping messages about phishing scams or, other security issues right at the forefront of people's minds.
That's a really great advice. I haven't actually heard that one before. Putting posters up to remind employees, that's something very simple to do, but I really haven't heard it said that way before. So, Mike, thank you for that. All right, so here's another one. Security awareness training explaining how social engineering is used in targeted attacks is the best form of defense against targeted attacks, fact or fiction?
I would say this is fact, although a defense in depth approach is essential to combat targeted attacks. So keeping operating system and application software patched and up to date is critical, and particularly browsers. And certainly a gateway email filter can reduce the number of phishing emails that make it through to users' inboxes. However, a lot of technology-based security controls are reactive in nature, and they can only do so much, which is why I think social engineering is such an important part in defending against targeted attacks. Social engineering is the art of psychological manipulation, and attackers use it to get somebody to break security protocols by following a link to an infected website or opening a booby-trapped email attachment. So security awareness, I think, is the only way really to counteract sort of the social engineering element of these attacks, both during the reconnaissance phase, when the attacker is researching the victim, and when the attack is launched. Everyone is vulnerable to social engineering manipulation, so training is needed to explain how social engineers operate and the tactics employees may well encounter sort of on and off the job. To stop most of these attacks in their tracks does require constant vigilance by employees with regard to sort of opening email and following links, sort of particularly shortened links that you often get in sort of Twitter messages. So your main defense is awareness training, backed up, I think, by Web Security Gateway, which can help block access to sites suspected of hosting malware.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike, here's our last one. Fact or fiction? Webmasters can help combat targeted attacks by making their own sites more secure.
This is a fact, and if webmasters around the world did more to make their sites more secure, life would certainly be a lot harder for the criminal fraternity and those behind targeted attacks. Most of these attacks use a hacked or compromised web server, and too many sites make it easy for hackers to add their own malicious content to the site using sort of common and well-known sort of vulnerabilities such as SQL injection or cross-site scripting. Those responsible for managing public-facing sites, you know, even if they don't consider themselves a primary target, need to, you know, scan their sites for vulnerabilities so they can find and fix them before hackers can take advantage of them. Another sort of simple way that they can help make attacks harder is to ensure that their mail servers make use of one of the main authentication standards, such as sender ID or domain keys. This makes it a lot harder for attackers to spoof the source of an email, which is often used to help sort of make the email appear very authentic to the person who receives it. Targeting attacks are becoming a real threat for everyone, so everyone, I think, needs to do what they can to make life harder for those behind them.
I totally agree with that. So, Mike, as we wrap things up, targeted attacks are so complex. What realistic measures can enterprises put in place to deal with these kinds of threats?
I think a lot of it is making their employees aware of the risk. You know, if an email comes in that seems too good to be true, it probably is. And, you know, just stopping and thinking before they, you know, click open or, you know, click on a link from an email, even if it looks like it's come from somebody within their own organization. They also need to look at having sort of web security gateways that can help block employees reaching sites that are known to sort of be hosting malware. As I say, I think it's important that everybody tries to make their own site so as secure as possible, so hackers can't use them as locations to put the malicious malware in the beginning. And I think it's also important to perhaps assume that an attack has been successful and put in place filters that are looking at the traffic leaving the website, leaving the network, as well as the traffic coming into it, checking to see whether there's any suspicious activity or data that's leaving the network that shouldn't be. So it really is quite a comprehensive set of security technologies and controls that are needed to prevent as well as contain attacks.
Very good. that'll do it for this Fact or Fiction podcast. Mike Cobb of Cobb Web Applications, thank you for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. For more learning materials, be sure to visit the other lessons in our security school at searchsecurity.com/securityschool. I'm Carrie Gattine. Have a great day.